disaster looms out there, right? You know that there are things coming down the road that are not going to be too pleasant. You know that there is a subversive element to our installed leadership in Washington, that swamp that Donald Trump talks about, draining the swamp indeed. But that swamp is mighty deep and mighty crowded. Now, there's a fight, and I alluded to this earlier, or stated, I came around and stated I had talked with my intelligence insider. And the bottom line with what he said to me today is, you know, now is the time to be very concerned, because what he is hearing is that the protests, or the riots, that is, that's just the face of what's going on inside the boardrooms and back rooms inside D.C. and New York City. I'm going to be giving as much information out as possible in written form. I think this needs to be memorialized in written form, because much of what he said back in 2012 and 2013 is now coming to pass. The very people who wrote that, or who, I'm sorry, who were planning things back 3-4 years ago, are 3-4 years older, more entrenched, have gained additional comrades, and of course now are exploiting the divides that have been created over the last 8 years, 10 years even, and working toward exacerbating and creating a civil war, but a multifaceted civil war. That's the important takeaway here. We can't just talk about the problems without offering you solutions. And of course, TradingPostInTheWoods.com offered you some solutions. I'd really urge everyone to really, folks, go back and make sure you visit that website. All right, because there's a lot of important information there, and it's. There's a lot of important information in there. I'm just going to leave it at that. But, you know, moving aside from the headlines right now, I want to say that next week is Thanksgiving already. And then after that comes Christmas. And if you want to be a hero for Christmas, if you do give Christmas gifts, OmahaSteaks.com. Now, I have to say this. I have had so many compliments on the gifts that I've given from OmahaSteaks.com.
So I should return the Jaguar, I got you.
Yeah, return the Jaguar, right. It's a little matchbox Jaguar, right? Yeah, but seriously, the I actually got this for my neighbor. It's a good friend. His birthday was just, I don't know, four weeks ago. And he loved it, absolutely. So if you're looking for the perfect gift, let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99 you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter our code HH in the search bar. It's a 77% off of the regular price for you, the listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to our listeners. Now, I want you to listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts. And they're just succulent. Four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, 12-ounce package of all beef meatballs, four potatoes au gratin. You've got your sides right there. Four caramel apple tartlets. And oh, man, are they good. Did I tell you I like them? Yeah. One Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, whatever they put in, I want to know. Plus, four additional kielbasa sausages free. This is a perfect gift. Again, 77% off for listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report. And go to their website, because they've got just hundreds of gifts, great steak experiences, just seafood, everything you could imagine. OmahaSteaks.com. Go to OmahaSteaks.com. Enter our code HH in the search bar. Add the family gift pack to your cart and get 77% savings. It is the gift guaranteed to be a hit. And really take advantage of that. But again, as we look at the landscape, the geopolitical landscape, we look at everything that brought us to this point. Jeremy Wiles, the son of Rick Wiles, good friend of the program, good friend of mine, just a class A guy, Rick Wiles, Jeremy Wiles, much of the same. Of course, class A guy. He is just a successful filmmaker, a very successful man in his own right. He's joining us now. he's going to give us a little taste of how we got to where we're at right now. That includes, for example, the issue of abortion. Just to make sure everyone's on the same page, Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, of course, Margaret Sanger, the award given to Hillary Rodham Clinton, the Margaret Sanger Award, who is she? And if Black Lives do matter out there, if those people who carry those signs really believe that Black Lives matter, they certainly would take a different stance on abortion. And of course, Jeremy Wiles is joining us to talk about that, his film, Joe, as well.
Yeah, Jeremy, it's great to have you on the Hagman and Hagman Report. I know we had some rescheduling issues, and we're finally able to get you on. And very excited to have you on. Your father, Rick, was on just a few months back, right before the hurricane came down there. And it's exciting to have you on.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on the show. It's a real honor to join you guys tonight.
Well, I got to ask the first question. How is your dad doing? How are you doing? How's True News doing? How's everything going there?
The family is doing great. My dad, well, my wife and I are expecting our second child in about 2.5 weeks. So my dad is all excited, and my mom is super excited as well. But his ministry is just—it's doing well. It's doing really well.
That's tremendous.
I think, So. They're doing great.
You know, Jeremy, I've spoken to your dad, and he's spoken to me about you, and so proud of you, and so proud of his family, and you and your wife, but I just want the audience to know that as members of the alt-right, and I say that not pejoratively, but you know, it's amazing what we're seeing here with the media and with the people in power just coming down on us. And I know your dad, my goodness, people don't realize the utter crap that we endure from others. Surveillance from the government, intrusion by the government, harassment, okay. Just for speaking the truth, being thrown under the bus to, you know, right-wing watch organizations, and on and on and on. So your dad's part of this.
And these are just the overt human battles that are faced when dealing with these subjects and issues.
Yes, exactly. So,
and I was a producer of my dad's show in the early days, back in 98, 99, 2000, I think, 2001. And he doesn't talk about it on the radio, and you guys probably don't as well, but he has received a number of death threats over the years. I know when I was there, we got a death threat every other month, really. And he never talked about it because he didn't want to bring attention to it, give these guys any energy, some psycho out there threatening not just his life, but the whole family's lives.
We get them weekly. We get them.
Yeah, weekly. You get them weekly.
Yep.
See, so
yep. And
that's
some
nature.
And you know what, Jeremy? You know, what do you do? What do you do with that? It's amazing. I hear, I read on the internet. Well, my goodness, if they were that concerned, they would call contact the authorities or contact the police. Yeah, you do that one or two or three times, and they say, well, what do you expect? Okay, you know. So, what do you do? You just have to be on guard all the time. But this is a real thing now. I mean, this is real, and the threats are real, and we collectively have to really watch what's going on. But about taking that side road there. But your dad doesn't talk about it, nor do we. So, so where do you want to start? Because I'll tell you what. Why don't you introduce yourself? Give our listening audience a little bit. Tell them a little bit about yourself and about.
Sure thing. Yeah. So I'm a filmmaker. I'm committed to making Christian and biblical films. We produced a project a few years ago called the Conquer Series, which, of all subjects, it talks about pornography in the church. And I know that's very taboo, and those words we don't use. among believers, but it's become a huge problem within the church today. And recently we produced a short film called Sing a Little Louder. And we're giving this film away to churches to show during their Sunday morning services. And the story is, it's inspired, it's actually a true story. And it's about this elderly man who in his youth witnessed the horrors of the Jewish Holocaust from the pews of his church. And every Sunday morning, a train would pass by their church at the same time. And one Sunday, as the train passed by, they heard the screams from the Jewish prisoners on the train. And the people in the church were so tormented by these screams that they heard that they began to sing a little louder to drown out the cries. And this elderly man retold his story as a demonstration to the modern day Holocaust that we're seeing happening in our nation when it comes to abortion. Except the casualties are far greater. So we've produced those films, and we've got a number of other projects in the work, and it's interesting when you look at the connections between abortion and Nazi Germany.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about the parallels between that, because people would be surprised. Maybe not our audience, but but let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, during World War II, Hitler convinced Germany through propaganda that Jewish life had no value, and the Jews were subhuman. I mean, that sounds very similar to what we're seeing in the abortion movement today. In Mein Kampf, Hitler wrote, and this is a quote, "The Jew was always only a parasite in the body of other peoples," end quote. So today, advocates for abortion use a similar argument. They claim that an unborn child is not yet human, which they often label as a fetus, a parasite to the mother. And the term fetus is used by those who favor abortion to dehumanize the child. So instead of calling it a child, they call it a fetus. I mean, it's a scientific term, I understand, but it's to dehumanize the child. But that term is actually Latin for unborn child. So the word fetus is Latin for unborn child. So words can give life, and words can kill. And
it's so important. The words we use are so important. And we've been desensitized and conditioned to use certain words. Like you said, fetus. Yeah, okay, yeah. We need to understand, and that's a big Tavistock Institute initiative, and it's so ingrained in our society. But go on, sir. Yeah, go on.
Well, there's just so many parallels there. I mean, you could go down a list. There's the death camps in Nazi Germany were called relocation centers. Death camps in America are called reproductive health centers. The Jews were described as a parasitic race, like I said. Here in America, it's described as a mere parasite by Planned Parenthood. The end result then was the termination of the Jews, and obviously the end result now is the termination of the pregnancy. Well, you know, it's interesting because what we see today is a large portion of our population who don't feel that abortion is wrong simply because the government has made it legal. And just because it's legal does not make it right. And
right.
I feel that many Christians, even though in their heart they know it's wrong, we're seeing today many believers who are supporting pro-abortion candidates for public office. And I have a hard time believing that you can support abortion and be a believer. I don't think that you have the love of God in your heart to be able to
agree
do something
with that.
So opposite
yep.
of
no,
his love.
Exactly. And you know, I remember the last debate, Jeremy, where Trump and Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Trump was describing a late-term abortion, partial birth abortion, and Hillary Clinton, she was shaking her head, no, 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 that's a lie, it doesn't happen that way, but yes, it does happen that way, you know, and it just amazed me, and the other thing, too, is the lie of judicial supremacy. It's the lie that the Supreme Court can make law. They can't make law.
They can't make law. That's right.
So we've been lied to in so many different ways, and people don't know how to debate, or they lose debates with their peers, family members, because of this, you know, critical lack of knowledge and acceptance of terminology, like you said, like fetus. Oh. You know, you're changing the language, and you're starting from below zero to, you know, when you're debating. But yeah, it's so that really sticks in my mind. You know, that debate thing, as well as the fact that the Supreme Court cannot legalize a moral wrong like this, especially when it goes against the Bible.
Well, if you go back to the Nuremberg trials, Nazi doctors and killers said that they were innocent because they had broken no law. And the defense claimed that these people were only carrying out the laws of the land. And the accused did nothing wrong because they were covered by the law. And, you know, in the 1930s when the Nazis came to power, the law was actually changed to legalize abortion and make this a matter of decision for a medical review board.
Right.
And the development of Germany's... Yeah, it's incredible. So the development of Germany's abortion policy was left to the Berlin Chamber of Physicians. And it was that group which advocated for abortion on demand, and they determined that it was the, and this is a quote, the health of the mother considered from all angles is the decisive factor. And that's the same Nazi spirit that's driving the abortion industry today. How many times have you heard through the news that it has to do with the health of the mother, which should be the deciding factor? That's
right.
Bull crap. Talk to any doctor, and they're going to tell you that the life of the mother is such a small portion of actual abortions.
Sure.
It's so rare. And today we can perform C-sections. The mother doesn't have to die.
Right, right. You're exactly right. And, you know, what they do, okay, let's talk about Planned Parenthood for a minute, because last year, a year ago, 18 months, beginning 18 months and extending through late last year and early into this year, the Center for Medical Progress, this investigative group, infiltrated Planned Parenthood under the pretext under pretext, and exposed exactly what was going on in Planned Parenthood. And you know what, something, Jeremy? What just blew my mind when we talked about it on air, and I'd like to get your take on this, because when we spoke about this on air, we had a couple, not too many, but a couple of so-called, you know, Christians, stalwart Christians, saying, oh, the Center for Medical Progress, they are just, they're not acting in a Christian-like manner because they went in under pretext. So that's a lie. And of course, Christians don't lie. And they had a real problem. A couple of people had a real problem about this. You know, it wasn't the problem of the exposing of the greater, you know, genocide, the homicide. It was the way the Center for Medical Progress approached their investigation. What would you say to that? I mean, I can't even begin to wrap my mind around that. It's crazy.
It's a pivot. It's a pivot. It's what the liberals are great at. When they don't want to address something, they learn how to pivot from that subject, and they move to something else, and they shift the blame. Mm. And they're experts at this stuff. They've done it for decades now. You know. It's absolute insanity. You hear this video has shown what's happening in the abortion industry. We've got body parts from babies being sold on the market, which should be illegal. It is illegal. And some people come in, they document it, and they're the ones getting in trouble for documenting a crime. It has become so twisted and backwards and upside down. It's insane. Like, you can't possibly put it into words.
Exactly. We're finding through the Podesta emails, we're finding through some other leaks in the totality of WikiLeaks, 10 million documents over a decade, that Satanism, the satanic culture, is so prevalent within the Beltway and within the leadership of D.C. And throughout the globalist leadership.
And Hollywood entertainment industry. Yeah. They're not even hiding it anymore. And, you know, we see these Baphomet satanic statues being erected at different places in the United States, after school clubs, you know, to worship Satan in the same schools that they are banning the Bibles in. And, you know, students, teachers getting fired, for giving a child the Bible, students getting suspended for, you know, praying on the football field or reading the Bible in class. It is just an outright assault on God and an embrace of Satanism. And we have seen that in the church also. The church is conforming to the ways of the world rather than sticking to sound doctrine. And this is why we see the church embracing, you know, abortion and homosexual marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's quite scary.
It is. It really is. And, you know, this did not happen overnight. Of course, we can trace this back a long way. But one of the things, and you speak about this and in fact mention this in your email, of course, we have a problem in the body of the church that of which this is a consequence. You know, the pornography, the lack of moral leadership and such, and certainly we're going to be talking about that, folks. We're talking with Jeremy Wiles.
Go ahead. And you know, the pornography issue, I see a direct relation to the what some people call the seeker-friendly churches, the fluff-and-puff preaching of the gospel, the selective preaching of the gospel, where the preachers only give sermons on feel-good messages and do not preach about the convictions of sin. And it seems to breed this type of, well, you know, God loves me and I can kind of do what I want mentality. And it's very dangerous.
It's extremely dangerous. And what we're seeing now is 68% of guys who go to church on a regular basis are watching pornography. 54% of pastors watch pornography on a regular basis. Now, how are you going to speak truth from your pulpit when the day before you're watching pornography? And we wonder why our churches are watered down?
True.
I mean, it's like, there's your answer. And that's why, with what we're doing, if you look at what the enemy has done, they've gotten upstream. And they've driven through media and through education and through other outlets. They've created a culture through what they've done, and they've infiltrated our culture with their perversion. And I think it's so important as believers that we get upstream. We've got to impact the culture with real things that change the hearts and minds of the people in our church. And a lot of churches don't have the tools to deal with some of these things, like pornography. Like, how do you help guys in this area in their life? What we discovered, I was in church a few years ago, and my pastor was talking about pornography. First time in my life that my pastor, or that any church I went to, talked about pornography. But it didn't last very long. It was like he made a comment where he told us that 68% of men in church view pornography on a regular basis. And I thought at that time, you know, that seems really high. That's hard to believe, 68%. Now, after I have done all this work and worked with thousands of guys over the past few years, I realize now that it's likely a lot higher than that. It's probably in the 80s. It really is.
That's a scary thought.
It's very scary. And so it was at that time that I told my wife, I said, look, we ought to produce something that can be a resource that churches can use to help guys in this area. And
Hang on right there to that thought, Jeremy. We're at the very close to the bottom of the hour. Folks, we're talking with the son of Rick Wiles, a success in his own right, Jeremy Wiles. He's one website. In fact, he was talking about the movie. In fact, it's a film by Jeremy Wiles, Sing a Little Louder, in the subtitle. And it's a question, because, and an important one at that, as a subtitle, will you raise your voice for those who have no voice? The website for the movie is singloudermovie.com. And we're going to be, of course, you mentioned that earlier, we're going to be getting into more with Jeremy Wiles after the break, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a lot to get into with him. Folks, we'll be right back after these short messages. And don't forget, after Mr. Wiles leaves us after this next segment, Pastor David Langford will be joining us for the third hour. So, going to be a great rest of the show. Don't go anywhere. Segment two with Jeremy Wiles, Rick Wiles' son, coming up right after this.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. You know, students from Richard Montgomery High School in Rockville today, they were marching in protest, not carrying signs, together, you know, together, love Trump's hate and such. Well, students from the Richard Montgomery High School in Rockville, Maryland, today just beat a 15-year-old, carrying a sign, Make America Great Again. He's wearing a hat, Make America Great Again. He was beaten during this march. Now, you tell me, these cryberry babies out there, these bullies. And you know, it's amazing, the Megyn Kellys of the world calling Trump a bully. Think of the dripping irony here. All right, the portrayal of Trump as a bully, and you've got these snot-nosed kids out there, the spoiled, rotten millennial types,
and
that need Play-Doh. That's right. They need Play-Doh, and they seek to, they run. It's like stranger danger, looking for anyone wearing a diaper pin on their lapel. All right, or looking, you know, searching for Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or some feel good do gooder out there. This is just absolutely insane. Yeah. They're beaten. If you saw the footage yesterday of a woman in a car. Now let me tell you something.
Yep, a pregnant woman.
I'm going to go on record right now and tell, hey, can you zoom in? Okay, because folks, if you're watching, look, I'm going to tell you something right now. All right. You do that to my wife or my daughter. You take a baseball bat to my wife or my daughter when she's in a car, or you take it to her car. Okay. I'm coming for you. All right. Believe me, I'm coming for you. But I'll tell you what, if I'm in the car, I have no objection of accelerating appropriately. All right. Now, go ahead, to those of you who see the need to do this, memorialize this, use this in evidence in my trial, right? Because I am not going to allow my family to be a target, nor will I be a target with these sniveling, snot-nosed, spoiled, rotten brats that need Play-Doh and safe spaces in order to avoid the Amy Schumer types. Of course, no, I don't want to talk about insanity. That's insanity. But hey, well,
one thing about the case you just cited, and then we'll get back to it, is that what's interesting about this, that there was a kid wearing a Make America Great Again hat, 15 years old, in Montgomery County. Several students beat him up. And, you know, this happened when the student was found with scrapes on his knees and told police that, you know, they beat him up and they went to the hospital. He was all right. But what happened was the high school, it happened during a Richmond Montgomery high school's anti-Trump walkout and protest.
Sure. Yeah, you know why? Because
who's
these
liable for that? The school should be liable for that.
Well, these kids, okay, the teachers are, some of the teachers are worthless. Okay, because they, I understand, little Johnny, go ahead. Are you out of your mind? I mean, try that in the 1950s. All right, it wouldn't fly back then. And you know, I don't know. Look, I believe I am a Christian. That's, I believe that. I believe that, okay? And some of you out there may be judging me and saying, well, you know what? That's not very Christian-like. Well, you know, then don't stand in front of my vehicle. Don't hit my vehicle with my wife in it with a baseball bat. Because if you do, you're going to be, they're going to be picking you up. You know, if you're not under the vehicle, then you're going to be roadkill.
Yeah, and don't complain about getting hit by a car if you're protesting in the middle of the highway.
That's right. So anyway, but we kept our guest here, and I apologize, Jeremy Wiles. Jeremy, I mean, am I wrong? Go ahead and slap me around a little bit.
Heck no. These are the same goons who are preaching tolerance, and they're out with baseball bats banging on cars.
That's right.
I mean, if they don't have the most hypocritical preaching, I don't know what is. It's insane.
You know, and I just wonder, if folks listening or watching this, do you doubt me? Do you seriously doubt me that I would have any hesitation in pressing down on the accelerator to if I'm going
the
forward?
The pizza's 15 minutes late, you know, you freak out. I can't imagine what would happen.
Hey, don't mess with my pizza delivery. All right, Jeremy, getting back to what you're... And Jeremy Wiles is our guest, and what a great sport, what a great man Jeremy Wiles is, the son of Rick Wiles, but a success in his own right, and a filmmaker, fantastic one at that. Film by Jeremy Wiles, Sing a Little Louder. And what's your other film, Jeremy?
It's called The Conquer Series, and it's actually, it's sort of like a documentary series for churches to use in small groups, and it's about pornography, a popular subject in the church. Right? Yeah. And it's kind of funny because when we created it, I really didn't expect anyone to watch it. Because the whole idea was we wanted to provide this as a tool that churches could use to help guys who are struggling in this area. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, who in the world's going to come out for a group session on pornography? And that's kind of a self-indictment, right?
But, yeah.
And it's also the first step to, you know, to rectifying the problem.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It is, yeah.
But you do it. I mean, Jeremy, from what I've seen, you're really kind of a master at this, and you can. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from your work products, and your films, and you know. So kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
My goodness. But yeah. The pornographic aspect, which leads to all the moral bankruptcy within the church, and I think it's you mentioned. In fact, let me find it here in my notes. You had mentioned something, and I thought it was really interesting. Pornography when you reference that, or any of the issues that we're talking about, is it a moral problem or a brain problem? And this is in reference to pornography. So let me ask you, is it a moral problem or is it a neurological problem? And how do men get addicted? Because this is, hey, it's as old as the Bible almost.
Right. Oh, yeah, it certainly is. Well, so is it a moral problem or is it a brain problem? And the answer is yes, it's both. And what happens, though, is it starts off as a moral problem, They make a moral choice, right? But it quickly turns into a brain problem. And we can see that now through neuro scans, brain scans. We can see what happens in the brain of an addict both after exposure to pornography and how the brain physically changes. In this series that we shot, I went into a neurosurgeon's office in I think it was Dallas or Fort Worth, Texas, and he showed me the brain scans of one brain scan was from a heroin addict. The other scan was of a porn addict. And the other scan was of a healthy brain. And the healthy brain was obviously, you didn't have to be a trained scientist to tell this guy's got a good brain. It looked good, right? Now, the brain scan of the porn addict actually looked worse than the brain scan of the heroin addict. And wow. You could tell, and trust me, you don't have to be a neuroscientist to see the picture and make that determination. There's deactivation in parts of the brain, and it's primarily in the prefrontal cortex, which is the front of your, like if you were to put your finger on your forehead, that's your prefrontal cortex right there. The prefrontal cortex is where you make, it's your executive reasoning. It's your CEO, in other words. It's where you make moral decisions.
Right.
And what we're seeing is guys who become addicted to pornography, their CEO, their moral decision maker, their prefrontal cortex is basically becoming deactivated.
Mm.
They literally, and this is not an excuse for their behavior, so don't take it the wrong way, but they literally lose the ability to say no to pornography. And I know that sounds like hypocrisy, because we can do all things through Christ, and I believe that. But what we have to do is we have to get their brain back to a healthy state. And that's what we did through this little project we shot. I should say little. It took us 2 years to shoot it, and there's a lot of work. But we've seen now 400,000 guys go through it, and tens of thousands are getting free from pornography. So the other part of the brain is the limbic system. And this is like if you were to put your finger on the top of your head and another hand, another finger on the side of your, like near your ear, mm-hmm. where they cross, that's your limbic brain. And right. Your limbic brain is your survival brain. And it's also where wounds and trauma get stored as well. So I kind of give you an example. Imagine that you're walking through the woods, and as you're walking down this path, you suddenly see a snake in front of you and you jump back and you pause for a second and you realize it's just a stick. Well, what happened in that moment? And the substance first, I tell you that the limbic brain, which is your emotional brain, that is a much more powerful part of your brain. It's much more powerful than your prefrontal cortex, which is where you make moral decisions. And I know it's probably boring you guys. And
this is interesting.
But it's so fascinating because once you get your mind wrapped around this, you start to see things differently. So you're walking down the path, you see it, what you think is a snake, it's a stick, you jump back and realize, oh, it's just a stick. Well, in that moment, what happened in your brain was your limbic system or your emotional brain said, ah, snake, jump back. Get out of there, survive, because it's your survival brain. And it didn't give your prefrontal cortex enough time to register that it was just a stick. Because your prefrontal cortex is slower. It doesn't act as fast. It's not as powerful. So when you have woundedness deep down in your soul, and I'm not getting into psychobabble talk and all that kind of stuff. This is biblical stuff. When you got deep wounds, trauma from your past, rejection, abuse, sexual abuse, whatever that is, well, that's deep down into your limbic brain. In times of life when the pain is mounting and the stress is mounting, you're going to react from your limbic system, and it's going to overpower your moral decision making. And that's what we're seeing in the church, that the church is not dealing with this effectively. What the church does is they say, guys, stop watching porn. We'll pray for you. Come up here, we'll pray for you, and then go on a 3-day fast, and it should be gone. And if it's not, maybe you're not a Christian. And what we have to do is we have to help guys through a biblical process to renew the mind and to get down to the deep junk, the crap that's in your past that you've been carrying along this whole time, and deal with that, because that's where this bondage is taking place. So porn is nothing more than a coping mechanism. It's how you deal with life. It really doesn't have to do with sex, doesn't have to do with women or anything. It's just how you deal with life. Your brain is a 24-hour pharmacy, and it's open 24 hours a day, and it's got all sorts of neurochemicals that you can access to get some of the best highs that you can ask for. So when guys are accessing pornography, they're tapping into these neurochemicals like dopamine, and they're getting this rush. And they're anesthetizing the pain that's in their limbic system, the stress of the day. Maybe it was an argument with the wife, or a something that happened at work, or maybe even someone cut them off on the road. Doesn't take a lot. They numb the pain.
Whatever trauma that might be. And that also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, I know Russ Dizdar talks about this too, but you've got a lot of I don't know generational curses and a lot of very deep dark stuff that does affect your brain, your soul. I mean, your soul.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you have the sexualization of women on. All the different outlets from entertainment, even cable TV, magazines, billboards, which act as triggers to those people who are prone and, have problems in these areas. And a simple thing like, an attractive woman in a beer commercial can trigger somebody to want to go and look at pornography. And it's set up this way.
When they're prone to that trigger, it's called an arousal template. When they have those certain triggers, it doesn't take them much to get down to a path of pornography. And that's why a lot of guys, they go back to, and they in their heart, they love God, love Christ, love Jesus, and they struggle in this area, and they don't know how to break that curse in their life. And that's at the heart of what we were trying to do with this film project, was to show guys that the old method of just trying harder to not do it anymore doesn't work. And
I bet you're a hit at church socials. I'm sorry.
That's the heart of what we were trying to do, is trying to get guys away from pornography, become the man that God called you to be. And so we're pretty excited about what's happened with that little film so far.
Little film, I dare say it's a huge endeavor, and the neuroscience alone is interesting. That's interesting. The addiction process, all of these problems, and I think, Jeremy, I'll ask you. I mean, what we're seeing today, the moral and spiritual bankruptcy of the body of the church today, rendering much of it impotent to fight against the takeovers, that we're subjected to. I mean, this is a process of degradation, I suppose. Am I wrong? I mean, this is just, wearing us down, and this is all part of it.
Well, it is, and I think at the roots of what's happening in media, it's purely satanic.
Yeah.
I believe that the ones who control the pornography industry, they're not just morally bankrupt, they're truly satanic. And I think that these people are financing some of the most wicked programs in the world. I believe that money goes from pornography to ISIS. I really do. I think that they will stop at nothing to destroy Christianity. And the guys who are...
We actually found, and we turned over images to the FBI. This is going back now 10 years, where there were pornographic images of women, in this case Asian women, and embedded within the photographs, the images were specific lines of code. Now, we had no idea what it meant, but we turned it over to the FBI. And the FBI, to this day, will deny that as well. You know, okay, no, of course not. But the just that alone, the pornographic aspect of
this—that's fascinating.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, and people aren't aware of this, but yes, some of the biggest Muslim groups use pornography as a conveyance of information. And again, you're not going to hear this on the news, but that's what we found a decade ago. Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of the news is profiting from it as well. A lot of the hotel chains are profiting from pornography.
Exactly. We've got about probably about 8 minutes left. Jeremy, let's recap everything. How can our audience help you? Where does our audience go to learn more about you, your projects? Give kind of a wrap up about that.
Thank you. Well, what we're doing with the Sing a Little Louder film is we've made it available to churches for them to show during their Sunday morning services or whenever they want to show it. It's a free film that they can download from our website, kingdomworks.com. It's all one word, kingdomworks.com. And then the Conquer Series, which is a small group study, which can be used in church or you can use it as an individual study. That's at our website, conquerseries.com. And also, you know, if you want to find a church that's offering it available, that has it available, you can join a group, likely in a local church, and it's not going to cost you anything. So we've got hundreds of thousands of guys and groups all across the country that are going through this course. And they're doing that in their local church.
So, okay, but for information on that, go where?
That is conquerseries.com. And we've got a two- or three-minute... Okay. Yeah, we've got a short film trailer on the website that you can watch to get a little bit of information about it. We made the series after a guy named Dr. Ted Roberts, who was a Marine fighter pilot in Vietnam. So we took his stories from Vietnam and we've reenacted those as analogies for what it's like to fight this battle against pornography. And that's the kind of the storyline of the Conquer series. There's a lot of teaching and expert interviews and stuff like that throughout it as well. That makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
No, you're still affiliated with True News, right? I mean, when I say affiliated, you're still active, I should say, is the word. Am I right? Or is that...
What do you mean by active?
Well, okay. Gee whiz, how can I put this? Are you in the production? Do you have anything to do with production of True News at all, or are you
on your own? No, I have my separate company. My dad and I work together a lot, and we're always brainstorming together and helping each other out with different projects. But I have a completely separate film studio.
Okay.
And he operates in Vero Beach. I'm a little bit further south of him in Stewart.
Yeah.
But we share. I provide resources to him often.
Sure, it's a wonderful relationship that you guys have. I just didn't know how to really characterize that. So you're independent entities, but nonetheless, you share resources and you help him, he helps you, and that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
True News as well, folks. But Jeremy, again, Jeremy Wiles is success in his own right, and again. What was that?
Conquer Series.
Conquer
Just
Series.
Conquer Series. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
ConquerSeries.com. Yeah, thanks for the plug. Appreciate
hey,
that.
No problem
Shameless
at all.
Plug right there.
Hey, it's not, it shouldn't be shameless. And people can go to conquerseries.com and learn about you, but also assist you, boost you, can communicate with you, whatever you need, you know, offer assistance and so on, right?
Yeah, very much okay. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Support you. And your film, Sing a Little Louder. How many churches did you say was?
We've got, I think, 1,000 churches so far. Wow. We just put that out a week or 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Man.
And, yeah, 1,000 churches have downloaded it. It's only an 11-minute short film. But it's,
yeah,
we shot it in Holland about 2 years ago.
That's an amazing 11 minutes, too, folks. I must say that that's a great 11 minutes. Sing a little louder, and will you raise your voice for those who have no voice? And, of course, you reference back to the church and the train load of Jews being shuttled off to their deaths, and of course the references to the Christians sing a little louder because they want to drown out the shouts and cries, and we can't be that today. We cannot be that today.
That's right.
Jeremy, thank you so much. Closing statement.
We've got a minute left.
Closing statement, my brother. Anything you want to say?
Oh my, well, goodness, I think if anything, I look at my own story of small beginnings. I actually started in my dad's garage. He was on the radio. My dad, he did his radio show in the garage for a while. He probably never said that on the radio, but he did.
No, but I knew that. I knew that, yeah.
Did you know that?
I did. I knew it was an outbuilding of some kind, but yes.
Yeah, it was like an outbuilding garage slash type of thing. But that's where I started, and I think if there's anything that my dad taught me was just to stay the course. And I think it's so important as believers that we continue the course, stay in the fight. And we're up against a perverse, dark society. And it doesn't mean that we have to go out and win the world, but you know, we can be a witness to our neighbor. We can be a witness to those in our family who are lost. There's so much brokenness in this world. Sometimes you just need to just to be a word of encouragement to a loved one. That's all it takes.
Amen.
And that's the only thing I would encourage, just to be a light to those around you. You'd be surprised how many people are lost and broken, and they just wish somebody would come along and say, hey, I'm here. I don't have a big speech to give. I can't tell you how to fix it, but I'm here for you.
I'm here for you. And so many people need to hear those words, and we need to be that light. And Jeremy Wiles, you are that light. God bless you. Thank you for joining
us
tonight. ConquerSeries.com. God bless you, and say hello to your dad for me.
Will do.
For us.
God bless you guys. Thanks again.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Folks.
Up next, we have Pastor David Langford from TheVoiceOfEvangelism.com. Visit his website, The Voice of Evangelism, as well as his radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio, The Voice of Evangelism,
and sign up
for his podcast.
We might have, folks, we might have some exciting news in the next week or two that involves Pastor Langford and us and others, maybe. Stay right where you're at.
Exciting.
We'll be right back.